You are now listening to Mix Mag on rotation, the world's dance music destination.
Allergy season is upon us. For those that don't know, it is allergy season.
Full sniffles.
Sniffles
but
are in effect.
You know, you know what other season is approaching? Good transition.
Yeah.
Festival season.
Well, festival season, you don't leave your, if you leave your allergy medicine at home when you go into a camping festival, you're done. You're done.
Oh, no.
Like, good
yeah,
luck.
I can only imagine. Honestly, yeah. Well, I want to know, besides leaving your allergy medicine at home, do you have any, like, fun festival horror stories?
Well, yeah, that's a festival's horror story in itself, leaving the allergy medicine. But it was Bonnaroo. We stayed after to clean up. Setting up camp, we're cleaning up out in the fields, and all of a sudden, a huge rainstorm, thunderstorm rolls in. We're out cleaning the fields at this point, so we have to race back to our campsite. And when we get back, our campsite isn't there. And the tent's not there, all the clothes, everything's not there. And it was in the middle of a field, in the next field over. And we had to, that was a nightmare. That's a horror story. Not really a funny,
that is a horror story.
It wasn't that funny. I hope you have do you have a funny one for us? Or do you have another one that's just like,
I mean,
damn.
I feel like all the horror stories, it's like when they're happening, they're not funny.
Right.
Because you're just like, this is the end.
Right.
Because mine is kind of the same. I think it's funny, like the camping versus like regular festival experience. Because I haven't really gone to that many camping festivals. Just because I'm not a big camper. I do remember like going to EDC in Las Vegas when it first started in Vegas, and I was still like fully raving with my friends. We were like still in school. We'd leave and drive super far to get there. And for people who don't know, getting in and out of the Vegas EDC is insane.
Mental.
Because
right.
There's really, there's only one freeway that takes you to the area where it is, because it's pretty far away from the actual city of Vegas. So you can just imagine the funnel and like the blockage that happens when all these people are trying to come in and out at the same time. And our group was like pretty smart about it. We were like, oh, like let's leave early. We're gonna beat the traffic. It'll be great. And so we had a plan, game plan, to all meet at the car. And then of course one person didn't show up and we couldn't get a hold of them. And so we're waiting and waiting, and like phone service is bad out there. And I think we ended up waiting over 2 hours trying to find this person. And it turned out that they were actually trying to find us the whole time, but they were just disoriented in the parking lot because it's so big. I didn't know where to go.
Hey, you know what?
Man.
They're going to come back to you with all these excuses. And you're going to be like, you know what? I don't really know what you were doing these past 2 hours. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I mean, honestly. And it sucks because like everyone's in a bad mood. Then you have to pile into the car and then sit in the traffic. And everyone's like, I just want to sleep. Yeah. It's like 8 a.m. by then. And it's also really hot in Vegas by then. So,
Anyway, we brought this up because we have a really funny... I mean, some stories are the funny and some aren't, but we have an article up on mixmag.net called Your Festival Horror Stories. And we've asked some really big names in the industry, like Gorgon City, Davide Scalace, Josh Butler, Andy C, Boxia, Sub Focus, these guys who have been doing festivals for a long time. We asked them their festival horror stories, and some of them opened
Everyone has one.
Yeah, everybody's got one. If you're in the scene, you've been going to festivals for a long time, you have something. Probably something that mirrors one of the ones we told, you know?
I feel like that's the whole thing, right? It's like when you survive something like that, you always feel like you've overcome. So at the end, you're like, we are friends forever with all your friends that you've like survived something with, or your campsite blew away.
We got through it and we're better for it. So go check that piece out on mixmag.net. But for now, we are here at On Rotation, Mix Mag's On Rotation podcast, presented in partnership with Serato, the power of music. We got another really awesome show lined up today. We have Kamea in the studio to talk about some really interesting stuff, right, Val?
Yes, we do. She stopped by, of course, a couple weeks ago to play the lab here, so we caught her while she was here. Here's a clip.
What I love the most about techno is the very simplistic layering, so you can combine a lot of different elements. You can tell a lot of very different stories, and I really love the subtleties in the sounds.
And once we chat with Kamea, we're also going to talk about some interesting news. I feel like a lot has happened. Miami was going on this week, but still, there's like other things happening. But at Miami, actually, Swedish House Mafia, big news on that end.
Huge.
What happened with the supergroup? A little bit of sad news from Simian Mobile Disco. We'll get into the details of what's going on there. And then a little inspiring note to like leave on. An amputee aims to set a new world record that has to do with dancing. So we'll tell you all about that
in a little
bit.
Some heartfelt stuff. We also have top premieres this week from some really awesome artists. We got Oleg Moss and Yulia Nico. We got Toki Monsta with a remix by Hugo Massian. We got Delano Smith and Traumer. And we also have one by Kind of Music, Black Coffee Remix. Good stuff coming up.
And then stick around, because the Weekend Report is how we always wrap up the podcast. We will tell you where to party, what to do, who to see. We'll tell you all those things, but stay tuned.
Stay locked. We know you've tuned into On Rotation because you live and breathe music, right? Well, so does Serato. They've been showing us the power of music for over a decade and make the most widely used DJ software in the world. On top of that, they've developed some pretty slick music production software too. Go check them out at www.serato.com.
You are now locked in with Mix Mag Zone, Valerie and Harrison.
All right, Val, now we're at the news section. What's going on in the world of dance music?
News. Well, everyone is probably by now recovered and back from Miami. Of course, last week was Miami Music Week, all of the industry, everyone's there for Ultra Music Festival, all that good stuff. And of course, the big news coming out of there was that Swedish House Mafia officially reunited.
What? Yeah, I mean, this was like highly anticipated and highly speculated for a long time leading up to it.
But very secretive. Yeah, like even people, I think, within the industry didn't know if it was going to happen. Obviously, people thought like it might, but the hype was really intense. You know, people, I remember seeing a post from Virgil Abloh, the designer for Off-White. Even he was like hyping it up, which is kind of crazy if you think about it.
I think once they revamped their Facebook profile, they like took down everything, deleted everything, and then just put up a new profile picture and a new banner. I think that really signaled that something was coming. And Ultra just was the obvious one. I mean, it seems kind of obvious. You know, the one thing that kind of like put a damper on it was they were all denying it openly. So
yeah, they were like, no, no, it's definitely not. Even their manager, Amy Thompson, who is very like in the public eye around all the Swedish House Mafia, she was like, no, it's not happening. But of course, like you said, it makes sense. 5 years ago is actually where they performed for the quote unquote last time.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
The same stage at Ultra Music Festival. I believe it was the closing set. So it was, I guess, a little nostalgic moment that they did it the exact same way for their reunion. But it is funny to think about. It was only 5 years ago that they decided it was like the last show.
I think this just brings up the reunion aspect. You know, LCD Sound System doing the reunion, you know, they're coming back together. Mm-hmm. I think if you're an act like that, it's probably smart to do a last show ever and have it not be the last show ever and then come back, storm back in a huge way. And this could only be the beginning. This is just the beginning for Swedish House Mafia. I mean, there's definitely some stuff in store that we do not know anything about yet.
Yeah. Of course, the set was like filled with the classic Swedish House Mafia anthems, the Miami 2 Ibiza, Greyhound, Antidote 1. That was like the real throwback, I think. I think people have started to speculate today, actually, that there is at least one ID within the set. So people are kind of unsure if it's like a new track from them. They kind of left it unanswered by saying, I think one of them shouted on the microphone, Swedish House Mafia is forever now. Oh, wow. So don't know if that means this is like the last performance forever or if they are going to get back together, because obviously they all have their own things going on. Steve Angello just released a new album, I believe, and Axel and Ingrosso performed together. So curious to see what will happen from here.
I think what's very interesting is the surprise comeback. You know, because of course there was speculation, but the surprise comeback is like really something that really can make a big splash. I mean, they took over the industry on the Monday after the set. Yeah. I mean, everybody was talking about it. So what would it be like? What do you think it would be like if Daft Punk came back? Would they do a surprise thing or would they do like a big announced world tour? I feel like they would have to do something big announced worldwide tour, or would they even do that?
Yeah.
Daft Punk is too cool for a reunion tour.
Right. I feel like maybe a couple years ago that would have been the move, but I feel like almost at this point the hype is too big now. I don't even know like what they would or should do at this point. I remember actually I was watching the live stream of the Swedish House Mafia thing on Sunday, and there was this one part of a song that kind of sounded like a Daft Punk riff. It sounded almost like Get Lucky's, like, you know, that little sound that they have in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was funny because I watched the comments. Everyone was like, oh my God, is Daft Punk coming out too? And I was like, well, I think the whole world would just explode if like all these reunions happened all at once. But I think people are still waiting.
It's that time. It's the time for the reunions. And I think it's definitely an exciting time. Hopefully more come, you know. I mean, you know, Janet Jackson's playing Panorama this year. I don't know when the last time she even performed was. Kylie Minogue is playing in Bergheim. I mean, anything can happen, you guys. Anything can happen.
The next bit of our news is a little sad, but definitely worth spreading the word about.
Yeah.
Simian Mobile Disco, the beloved duo, they actually announced on Twitter earlier this week that they are going to be canceling their upcoming American tour because one half, Jazz Shaw, has been recently diagnosed with AL amyloidosis.
This is very interesting, like a rare disease caused by abnormal deposition and accumulation of proteins in the tissues of the body. I really don't know what that is, guys. I'm sorry. Val, do you have any idea?
Yeah, we're both not medical experts, of course, but I mean, that's the description that they gave on Twitter.
Yeah.
And of course, you can go online and look up more about it. But they did announce that Jazz is now undergoing chemotherapy treatment. And of course, that means that he won't be able to perform. So the group are going to reevaluate their future tour plans once he's kind of completed treatment and see like how he's feeling and what the status is from there.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the light at the end of the tunnel is that like there is a recovery for this. This is not a super life-threatening disease as of right now. He just does have to go through some chemotherapy type treatment. So that's very interesting that Simian Mobile Disco decided to not go on maybe a DJ type tour, but instead just be like, hey, you know what? We're just going to call it right now. We're not going to do our US tour and we're going to reevaluate when we can. I think that's great.
Seems like it came as quite a shock to probably both members and obviously Jazz himself. The group has a scheduled show on May 4th, the Murmurations show. So that is going to maintain. So that's in London and that's going to be their last Simian Mobile Disco show for a while, as they've said. And profits from the show will be donated to the UCL Amyloidosis Research Fund. And they've encouraged people and fans to go check out a little bit more if they want to go donate just because they should. It's justgiving.com/fundraising/UCL Amyloidosis Research Fund.
Yeah, so. we got the news post up on mixmag.net too if you can't find that. But their live show is one of my favorites. I remember, was it 4 or 5 years ago when they came out with this really interesting light show behind them of all these little dots, I think it was. And it was really just an amazing, groundbreaking show. And so I really hope they come back with a bang. I know they will. I think they just came out with some new music as well. So,
well wishes to Jazz. Hopefully he feels better and gets through the treatment all right. Keep an eye out for what Simian Mobile Disco will be up to next. Let's talk about this guy named Philip Tucker. Let's talk about this guy. Who is he, Harrison?
Philip Tucker is a guy in Maidstone, England, who is an amputee. He lost his leg in a motorcycle accident in 2001, and he is about to turn 50. He has a friend who is a recovering heroin addict. He got treatment at Kenward Trust, which is a charity organization that offers support and rehabilitation to those seeking recovery from substance abuse. So that Kenward Trust is turning 50, and Philip Tucker is turning 50 as well. And what better way to do this than try to break a world record for dancing with a prosthetic limb? You had to do a double take when you saw this story. You're like, what?
You're like, wait, what is the backstory to this? I loved the quote that he gave, though. He said, before my accident, I was well known around town for getting up and having a boogie. There aren't that many people with two legs who put as much energy into dancing as I do over the course of an evening. So Philip Tucker is going to tackle this world record. And actually, apparently there is not a current world record for the longest dance with a prosthetic leg. There is a world record for the longest dance, which is held by a Nigerian dancer who danced for 7 days straight, which is crazy. But yeah, so I mean, Philip Tucker found a title that he can win. So I believe that he is just going to go for it. He doesn't know exactly how long he's going to do it for.
He's going to try about 8 or 9 hours. I think that's a long time.
Yeah, he's got a whole plan. He's going to set up a little festival in his courtyard. And he even said himself, it's a nice spot for a mini festival and people can come enjoy it and dance along with him, I'm sure.
Raise money for Kenward Trust. So this is like a really nice, well-rounded thing that Philip is organizing. And I don't know if I could do that 9 hours straight. That's a long time, you know?
That is a long time. That's a lot of dancing and hip movements and being on your feet. But power to Philip
power
Tucker.
To Philip.
You go get him.
I asked this question to a lot of people that I was like, what would you want to dance to? Like, what DJ? Maybe like a Dixon set, you know, a Dixon marathon set. We talked about Joseph Capriotti's 24-hour set. Like,
you can't really jump into it, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint. Right. So you can't like start just drum and bass and just like go crazy. You kind of just like have to feel it out. Like you said, like some slow, slower melodic techno maybe, but we'll see.
Start me at around 110 BPM, pick it up to maybe 120, and then I don't know if I could go even that higher.
Slow and steady wins the world record.
Well, with that, let's welcome in Kamea, who's going to talk about some very interesting stuff. She's a new mommy, which is a big thing. So first gigs back from being a mom, her time in Berlin, coming from Seattle. So a lot of interesting stuff to get to. Stay locked for all that.
We all know the feeling you get when you discover a new artist you've never heard of before. Wave is a new app that'll make it easier than ever. It's a music and content platform dedicated to artist discovery in electronic music and hip hop. Search WAV and download it from the App Store now.
You are now listening to Mix Mag on Rotation. Hot takes on the latest dance music news, tunes, parties, and more.
Tell me about where you grew up and a little bit about the scene where you first started to get into electronic music.
In the 90s, the rave scene was pretty much flyers just spread out along the city, and we started to see the flyers around and got really curious. And I met some friends up in a town called Bellingham where I was going to college, and we decided to start checking out some of these parties. There was a rave warehouse called NAF Studios, and that was open every weekend, and we would go there and go dancing all night and listen to electronic music. It was really different back then because it was very anonymous. There was no cameras and the internet was not going crazy viral with videos and stuff. So it was really about self-discovery and kind of breaking down these suburban barriers that we had all grown up with in high school with, like, you know, cool kids, not cool kids, jocks, you know, what your expectations were, going to college, having 2.5 kids, you know, the picket fence, all that stuff. And a lot of people kind of, I think, felt maybe that wasn't for them or wanted to break free from things that they had grown up with, and we all sort of congregated there and broke down these barriers and changed our directions and our dreams and figured out who we really were. So yeah, that was really what it was based on back then. It was super fun times.
Do you recall the moment that dance music sort of clicked and it all changed for you?
The moment I decided that I wanted to change my career and my direction, or I wouldn't say career, just what I wanted to do with my life, was we had gone to a party in Canada because I was living in this town that was about an hour south of the Canadian border. So we were in Vancouver at this place called Riverside Banquet Hall. And I saw this female DJ. Her name was Jackie Christie. I think she was with Nervous Records in New York, and she just came on and exploded the party. And me being this young, really impressionable music lover who had been studying all of the classics, all the things that were sort of lined out before I was alive and before I was there and studying and learning those, and then coming into something completely new and experimental was so exciting for me. It was breaking down what I understood how music worked and how music felt and how music affected me on the inside. And it was just sort of this explosion of inspiration and ideas and love and vision. And when I saw her, I was like, that's it. I just knew, you know, sometimes you can be really lucky that you can experience this moment where you just completely know what you want to do. And I was very fortunate enough to have that at a young age.
What were the steps from there on that led you first to New York and then eventually to Berlin, where you're based now?
Okay, so I was playing raves and clubs around Seattle, and that was really fun. At the time, I mean, remember, this was back in the 90s, so we weren't downloading music off the internet. We were getting whatever was coming through our record shops and what people were talking about and what they were discovering on their own. And we had these, you know, a few record stores that were getting like import records from Germany, which was like really amazing techno, and then also really great like progressive stuff, like the Global Underground CDs and stuff like that. And I used to buy those CDs and I would sit there and I would listen to them over and over. And to me, it just completely blew my mind that, you know, Darren Emerson live in Uruguay. And at the time, I think I even thought Uruguay was in Europe. Like, I was like, so, you know, just the world was just so big to me in those moments. And I would just lay there in bed at night and I would listen to them and just imagine what that would be like to be there. So that ultimately inspired me to take my first DJ residency was actually in India for like 3 months. And it was pretty not the direction of my life, but I was so excited to take something around the world. So I went and I did that and saved up my money. And when I came home, I moved to New York. I picked up a record bag, packed it, got a suitcase, got on a plane, went to New York, told my family. I was like, I got to try this. I want to get to as close to Europe as I can. This is where my heart is. And they were really supportive. Looking back now, I'm like, wow, I can't believe, you know, they let me do that. But I went there and I remember I didn't know anybody there. I knew like maybe one or two people. And I was standing on the train platform in Queens with my records and my suitcase thinking, what did I just do? And that's where I got started there. And after about a couple years, I made a lot of great friends, went to a lot of great parties, started throwing parties, and started Clink Recordings, which is where I sort of got my international start and started touring from there. And then in 2006, I played Watergate in Berlin for the first time in Bar 25. And I had never been to Berlin. And it was just one of those things, like I got off the plane. It was again one of those moments. Like I just knew before I even played, I could feel the city in my heart. I could feel there was something inside of me that immediately connected to the city. And I knew right away, I said to the person I was in the car with, I was like, we're moving here, I'm moving here. So yeah, that was how I got to Berlin.
What is it about this specific sound that you think drew you to it?
For me, techno is, it's a very personal experience for me. It's a very deep, trancy type experience where when I'm listening to techno and I feel the beat, to me, it feels like a heartbeat when I hear it on a system and the sub bass. So I really feel it inside of me. And what I love the most about techno is just the very simplistic layering. So you can combine a lot of different elements. You can tell a lot of very different stories without exhausting your ears with too many elements and too many things going on. You can really just take a long extended experience with the music, and I really love the subtleties in the sounds and for lack of better words, the bleeps and the noises and all of these things for me are really beautiful and simplistic pieces to build a story off of, where I personally really connect to this, and I really connect in a room with people that are connecting to the same vibe at the same time. It's just, it's where I love to be. It's what I love to do.
What advice do you think you would give someone today who might be in your shoes however many years ago, someone in a small city who is just getting exposed to this kind of music and wanting to become a producer or a DJ?
I would tell people today, really, hopefully in my heart, what I could share of my experience, because it's, you know, it's changed so much now. It's so about hype and views and likes and, you know, photos and all this stuff. Is just, you really constantly every single day have to stay true to yourself and true to yourself as an artist and, you know, not fall into what other people are expecting of you and expect for you to do with your sound and your career and your image. Like really be true to yourself and true to who you are and don't believe the hype.
So you recently had quite the life change, taking a maternity break and welcoming your new baby. I want to know what was going through your head before he arrived, kind of looking ahead at what your career and your life would look like as a mom.
When we decided to start a family, me and my partner, we both have really unconventional lives. We're both freelancers. We're both artists. And so it was a big decision for us. But we talked about it, and we're both very, very instinctual people, and we really just follow what feels right and follow what our hearts tell us to do, which is really what I think that you're really the best version of yourself when you're doing that. And it felt right for us to start a family, and it's something that I wanted to do in my life, is to be a mother, and it was the right time for us. It's, you know, it's scary sometimes, and it's hard, and it's exhausting, but it's so rewarding that it's worth the shifting around and the reorganizing of things. But I mean, as a woman, you really, we're so capable to make space for so many things in our lives. I mean, we can be a mother, we can be artists, we can be career people, or, you know, we could not. We could choose to stay at home with our family as well. It's all okay. It's all just, it's really personal to who you are as a person. And for me, I believe in family and I believe in art. So I'm just fusing fusing my life to make it work for me. And so far it's going great. I'm having the best time.
Has anything in specific surprised you now that you've returned back to being a touring DJ while balancing motherhood?
Well, there's a lot of things that surprised me. I think the most surprising thing for me becoming a mother and being an artist and a touring artist at the same time is the sort of duality. I mean, you know, on the weekend, I'm one Camille. I'm the Camille that loves to play techno and loves to have a great time with people and loves to travel and see new places and do new things. But when I'm home on Monday, there's the mother, Camille. I have to fuse these two people into one person and live this duality, which it can be very challenging at times. But it's taught me a lot about patience and love and openness and just learning how to open your heart to nurture another human being. It's really wonderful, but it does not come without challenges. There are times when sleep sounds really nice that maybe it doesn't quite fit in on that particular day with the traveling and being a mother. But yeah, no, it's totally worth it.
So what's coming up next for you, release wise? Big news?
Coming up next is I have a release coming in June. It's another original on my label Neverwhere, which is also my radio show. It is going to be two original tracks that are actually from what we were talking about earlier. It's kind of revisiting my rave history in the 90s, and it's actually named after the venue I was talking about earlier, NAF. It's called NAF 97, and I just kind of wanted to explore my roots and share them with people of where I came from musically and what I saw on the weekends when I fell in love with electronic music. And it's got two really great remixes from Marcus Suckett and Matrix Man, who gave their voice on the EP, and I couldn't be happier. They've done such a great job. So that's coming out in June. Yeah, and everything else, I just have the radio show every month, the Neverwhere Radio, and yeah, that's about it. Just touring, having fun.
This is Mixmag on rotation, direct to your eardrums.
All right, now we arrived at our premiere section where we give you the top tracks that arrived in our inboxes this week. You can find them on Mixmag SoundCloud or on Spotify. First up, we have the next release on the Tocno Techno imprint, which is the label founded by Yulia Nico. Here she enlists a talented cast of producers to join her with new material, including Oleg Mas, Trip Mastas, and Coat. Here we premiere Nico's collaboration with Berlin-based Ukrainian producer Oleg Mas. Together, they showcase a deep and acidic sound profile with Roadway, which is a mesmerizing techno cut aimed directly at the dance floor. TT006 is out now.
Hugo Massian has turned in an uplifting new rework of Toki Monster's Don't Call Me, which features vocalist Yuna. Haunting reverb vocals float above bass swells before an emotive piano line pushes the track even higher up. The remix is out on Toki Monster's upcoming remix album for her third LP, Lune Rouge, and will also feature reinventions from Damn Funk and Kingdom. It's out April 6th on Young Art Records.
Now here's a collaboration we're really happy about seeing. Deep House kingpin and Sushi Tech mainstay Delano Smith has teamed up with fellow house hero Traumer to contribute a track to the new Berg Audio compilation. The VA comp entitled Directions features tracks from the likes of Barak, East End Dubs, Steve O'Sullivan, and Exos, and will be dropping very soon via Double Gatefold Vinyl. You won't find this one on Digi. All vinyl collectors should scoop this one ASAP.
Plate to remix Kind Music's peak time track Mouye is no small task, but leave it to South Africa's standout Black Coffee to knock it out of the park. Obviously well versed with the original's unforgettable feel, after inviting them over to his Ibiza residency this summer, Black Coffee takes hold of Mouye and adds a boost of his spiritual, inescapable energy without forsaking the track's intricate beauty. The remix is out on April 6th.
Listening to Mix Mag on rotation.
All right, now we've arrived at the weekend report. But before I let Val do her jingle, we gotta say big up to Serato for helping us make this podcast possible. Serato is a really interesting company known for their industry-leading DJ software while also delivering innovative tools for music production. Check them out at www.serato.com to find out more. Cue Val and jingle.
Weekend report, the weekend report, the weekend report, the weekend report.
All right, Val, what's going on in LA?
That's
where are you partying this weekend?
Where are we partying? Well, let's start with the lab because we have a doubleheader this week in LA. So if you're in LA, come join us for one or both. Yeah. Who knows? You know, they're all sorts of fun. Very diverse this week. On Thursday, we're starting with Salva. If you're not familiar, get to know him. Go check out his new EP on Spotify. It's very good. And then on Friday, we have Dynamics Magdalena. So big stuff ahead.
Nice shout little out batch to Wave. Of styles.
A batch of styles. I like that. Yeah. So shout out to Wave, our partners, for always helping us bring in some solid talent into the lab. But back to LA. Let's go into the weekend. On Friday, Decibel and Sublevel are teaming up for a Decibel Gets Subleveled party, which is TBA location, so go buy those tickets to find out. But solid lineup. Art Department, Doc Martin, Marbs, and several more names are on that lineup. It's going to be good. Or you can go pop over to Magdalena, who is playing alongside Fur Coat at Sound, and that's after the lab. So all sorts of options for you on Friday. Saturday is a busy night as well. Daniel Avery, our recent Mixmag cover star, is playing all night long at Lazaro's Latin Lounge, which is a funny little venue here in the city. Or you can get ready for Movement with an official pre-party here in LA with Kevin Saunderson. That is a TBA location, but Kevin Saunderson's classic. It's going to be great. Or third option is to go check out Insomniac's Factory 93 party, which has Carl Cox playing, and I believe this is his only LA show for the year.
Wow.
So if you want to catch him, you better go to that. And supporting Carl Cox's Pleasurecraft and Brennan Gray, and that venue is 1756 Nod Street, which I believe is in Chinatown. Some good, jeez, good
Saturdays.
Peeps.
Stacked. Mm-hmm. If you're in LA, you got to go see Coxie because you're not going to get to go see him anywhere.
I know. He's playing 3 hours, which is, I think, short for Carl Cox, but yeah. Of course, here in LA, it's like a big deal that he's playing 3 hours, but still.
All right, now taking it to New York City, we also have a stacked weekend, a week of labs. I don't know, we're just like piling up these labs because we want to show everybody what's going on. On Thursday, we got El Chef A, which is Permanent Vacation Homie. Very good stuff. That's on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have a double stream. We got Cora, who will be kicking it off, followed by Kulo De Song, who is in town to play Matt Black Party. And that's, and again, got to shout out Wave for making these things possible. Go download the app because we got a lot of content coming out on Wave. Some little behind the scenes footage, some interviews with people that are coming to the lab. I think that's a little fun little tidbit. If you're not going to make it to the labs because it's very small, we can't fit everybody. very small, it's in our office. On Thursday, we got the Insight Party with Hero Dot and Rasho at the Panther Room at Output. They've been doing these Thursday parties, very intimate type stuff. Also, this weekend, Despacio is in town. And for those that don't know, that's James Murphy of LCD Sound System and David and Steven Diwale of Soul Wax and Too Many DJs. This is their sound system, Despacio. Been at festivals all around the world, but this is the first time you're going to see it outside of a festival. It's going down at the Knockdown Center. They got 3 days. They got Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Pick a date and go check it out because it's absolutely beautiful. The DJ is hidden away somewhere. It's really interesting stuff. On Friday, we got the Bunker Party at Nowadays. Mike Servido for 8 hours. And then on Saturday, we got the Matt Black Party with Dixon, Kulo De Song, DJ Hell, Veronica Vesca. That is at an undisclosed location. So you're going to want to grab those tickets because it's mysterious. You don't know where it is. But if that's not your thing, you can go check out the Off The Record Party at TBA Brooklyn, where we used to do the labs. That's with Levy Verspeak, Maxim Marite, and the CGC guys. And that's your weekend and Friday. Lots going on. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
All of them, all at once.
All the things.
Shall we jump over to London?
Home of Mixmag.
Of course, Lab London is also going on over there. They have Todd Edwards in this week.
Todd the God.
So if you, I like that. Todd the God. So if you're in town, be sure to go check out the lab and say hi to our friends over there. But if not, you can start the party on Thursday. Bedrock is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Wow, how cool.
20 years.
And that's happening at Fabric. And of course, label boss John Digweed's going to be there along with Chelina Manhutu, guys. Jay, Julian Jewell, and several more names are on that lineup. It's going to be a good one at Fabric. Yeah, and then Friday, which is Good Friday, of course, right before Easter, Horse Meat Disco are playing both a rooftop and a club set at this venue called the Prince of Wales, which sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like a good time, to be honest. Definitely. Otherwise, you can go check out Artwork all night long at XOYO or another all night long party with DJ Tennis at Phonox. So in it for the long haul.
I love the all night sets. I love that.
Yeah. On Saturday, so many options on Saturday as usual in London. But I think the number one for big names is Hotsense 82. He's bringing his Labyrinth party to the Tobacco Dock over in London and bringing along with him like an army of names. Eric Murillo, Dubfire, LaFleur, Matador, Eats Everything, Matthias Tansman, Guti, and I know there's many, many more on that lineup. I didn't want to read them all. So that's going to be solid. Go check that out on Saturday. Otherwise, you can go catch Miss Kitten, who's playing Ritual, the party at the Madison Rooftop. Did you just meow?
I did.
You just meow for Miss Kitten?
I can't help it.
Nice. She brings it out of me.
She brings the little kitty cat outside of me, you know what I
mean? Or you can go check out Fabric with Jeff Mills and Craig Richards and Marcel Fengler.
That's special.
Always a good time at Fabric. And then, of course, the NYC crew is heading to London. E1's Body and Soul Party, Francois K, Danny Krivit, and Joe Clausel.
Yeah, what up?
Harrison's homies.
NYC represent.
And then, of course, the last thing to do on Sunday is go check out Floating Points, who's playing all night long at Fabric once again.
If I was in London, so I'd be so torn. Because you got Jeff Mills and Craig Richards at Fabric, but you also got Hudson City 2's whole cast of crew at the Labyrinth Party at Tobacco Dock. It's just madness.
Yeah. Something for everyone. Let's just put it that way.
All right, now to our last one, the rotating city. We have not shouted out Chicago in a long time, but we know we got a lot of mixed maggers out in Chicago. So you're going to start things off on Thursday with the Gas performance. That's Wolfgang Voigt at the Art Institute of Chicago. This is his Gas performance, audiovisual, ambient, really amazing show. It's sold out everywhere, so if you have tickets, good for you. If you don't, that's really too bad. Then
too bad.
On Friday, we got to shout out the Daphne parties this weekend going down in Chicago. It's Kamiya, what's up, playing with Noncompliant and Kiddo at Smart Bar. But then also Bass Nectar's in town for a two-night run. So he's got his after parties on Friday. He's got Iodo, Jansen, and a couple others going down at Concord.
The bass heads are freaking out.
Bass heads going crazy in Chicago. What? And if that's not your thing, you can check out the Drum Cell and Blue Response Party at a TBA undisclosed location. Ooh, mysterious techno party. Then on Saturday, Daphne party once again with the Black Madonna at Smart Bar. Catching the Black Madonna at Smart Bar, you gotta go. I mean,
we still believe.
That's just that's a special night, and I'm sure she will be buzzing and pull out some special stops. But if that's not your thing, you can catch Serge Devant at Spy Bar, which is also a great look. And then Bass Nectar finishing off his run in Chicago. He's got an after party with Ill Gates, Ivy Lab, and a lot more, and that's also at Concord Music Hall.
Nice. So a little bit of something for everyone.
Stuff. You know, I'm down with the bass heads, down with the techno heads, down with the house heads. We like it all here at MixMag. You know, we don't discriminate genres.
We like it all. Well, that's that. Have fun out there during the weekend. Let us know what you're up to. We are on Twitter at MixMag, hashtag on rotation. Harrison and I always just want to chat. We're just always looking to see what's going on.
Chat
you know?
It up.
Chat it up. Leave us a review on iTunes if you're so willing. We'd love to read those as well. And then join us again back here next week. We have a cool guest, don't we?
Yeah, we got the Razor and Tape guys.
Yay.
New York guys. They run an awesome disco label. If you don't know about Razor and Tape, we premiered their stuff a lot on our MixMag SoundCloud. They are the leaders in contemporary funky house and disco. So they have a lot to share.
Time to research. Research before next week.
Check it out.
Be sure to join us again. Same time, same place. In the meantime, I'm Valerie here in LA.
And I'm Harrison here in Brooklyn.
And we'll see you next week.
Woo.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to MixMag on Rotation. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll be back soon with more buzz from the world of dance music. Stay locked. This podcast was produced by Full English Post.
Val, do you ever say zoinks?